Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
Hammer time. Go. Well, good morning, Buffalo. It's Dominic Cortez, and Hammer Time Radio starts right here, right now. When you want the work done right, call Dominic Cortez.
Call Cortez, your man for home improvement. Leaking roof? Need new windows? Looking to remodel your kitchen or bath? You've come to the right place and the right time. Broadcasting on News Radio 930 WBEN since 1989, this is Hammer Time Radio. Now, your host, your man for home improvements, Dominic Cortez.
Good morning, homeowners, and welcome once again to Hammer Time Radio here on WBEN. Dominic Cortez with you with another edition of Hammer Time Radio. This Saturday morning, a special show, we invited Paul Gorsica in. He's an Erie County fire instructor. And good morning, Paul.
Good morning.
How are you today?
I am fantastic. Thank you for the invite to come in and speak with your listeners.
Absolutely. Paul is an Erie County fire instructor, and he teaches firemen around the community about how to combat fires, and he's added to his repertoire recently how to fight a lithium-ion battery fire. Quite a challenging undertaking to fight that kind of fire, isn't it?
Absolutely. Lithium-ion batteries, lithium-ion fires, some emerging technology, something that's been around for a little bit of time, but I think now we've been seeing a lot more public awareness when it comes to lithium-ion. So special attention needs to be paid when it involves lithium-ion batteries and lithium-ion fires.
And the biggest problem is the temperature that they burn at?
Absolutely. So anything that involves a lithium-ion battery, we're talking about an exothermic reaction that causes a tremendous amount of heat, which in many cases can be very difficult to extinguish.
Mm-hmm. So let's start with explaining exactly what is a lithium-ion battery.
Absolutely. So lithium-ion batteries, basically, for a very simplistic, you know, I don't claim to be a scientist or an engineer. Many of my research that has been done on this topic comes directly from the fire service. But your lithium-ion batteries are basically a type of battery which uses reversible reduction of lithium ions to store energy. So in a very simplistic way, that is what a lithium-ion battery is. It's using those lithium ions to store energy. And research has found very recently that lithium-ion is a very cheap way to produce energy, and is also very widely accepted now as kind of the mainstay when it comes to battery power, because it's so easily and it can be recharged very quickly.
Mm-hmm. And of course, we see them in everything.
Absolutely.
Cell phones, toys, computers, and of course, cars.
Absolutely. So I don't think that anyone can get up in the morning and start their day and continue their day without running into some form of a lithium-ion battery in some aspect of their life.
Of course, another big part of what might be coming down the line here is the battery storage towers, the Powerwall towers. Those are also lithium-ion.
Absolutely. So some of the things that are kind of coming out in emerging technology now are the Powerwalls that individuals can be utilizing in their own homes. And then also the energy storage systems or the electric storage systems, the ESS, which a lot of municipalities or even private entities can use to kind of beef up the power grid, so to speak. So we see that coming out as well in our area and across the nation and across the world.
So firemen are at risk when they combat a lithium-ion battery, isn't that true?
Absolutely. There's a lot of dangers that are posed to first responders when it comes to lithium-ion battery fires.
Mm-hmm. Explain what they are.
Sure. So very simplistically, when that battery goes into thermal runaway, and that is a term that's used basically to describe the exothermic reaction that takes place. So there's a failure within that battery, and that failure causes the exothermic reaction, which superheats. It's an uncontrolled amount of heat within that particular battery cell. So when we talk about thermal runaway, it is that reaction. And that reaction and the contents of that battery off-gas, and they off-gas a number of products. The products that are off-gas that pose a lot of risk to firefighters and first responders are hydrogen fluoride, hydrogen gas, carbon monoxide. So we have a lot of hazardous gases that are given off that pose a lot of threat to firefighters. The other threats that we see with lithium-ion battery fires, because they burn so hot, they are a challenge to extinguish with traditional methods. And what I mean by that is when we have a lithium-ion battery fire, whether it's involved in a home or in a vehicle, it's going to take a tremendous amount of time and a tremendous amount of water, because that exothermic reaction is so hot that it takes a lot to be able to cool those cells.
So there's no other way to combat it except copious amounts of water.
Copious amounts of water and time are really the only two methods.
So it basically burns itself out.
Absolutely.
And you're controlling the spread with water.
Absolutely, yeah. So the exposure control is very important when it comes to fires that involve lithium ion, but it's that copious amounts of water and time to basically cool those cells enough that fire goes out.
Any idea as to what makes a lithium ion battery fail?
Absolutely. So there's several reasons why lithium ion batteries fail. And the Fire Safety Research Institute, which is a part of UL, the Underwriters Laboratories, have really kind of defined several ways in which batteries fail. And I think the most common ways that we see batteries failing is the overcharging of batteries. And that really comes from individuals who are using lithium-ion batteries, whether it's in a cell phone, in a e-mobility device, potentially even a car, but that becomes overcharged.
So they don't have triggers to turn off the charging?
There are some safety mechanisms that do exist within lithium-ion batteries themselves to basically combat that thermal runaway, that exothermic reaction from happening. The problem becomes, and I think it's a product of society sometimes, is that we are looking for, obviously, the cheapest and fastest way to do things. And what that means is that if we have a lithium-ion device and that comes with maybe one charger from the manufacturer, we look to seek out, you know, additional ways to charge, faster ways to charge, and we often turn to the online marketplace of the world. And maybe we're purchasing additional battery packs or additional charging stations for those particular devices that may not be what the manufacturer had intended, number one, and they may not be inspected by UL.
So kind of an aftermarket, might be, you know, Chinese product.
Absolutely. Something that is not intended, that was not provided with that particular lithium ion battery, that the consumer will purchase and will utilize and will cause an issue with that battery pack. And then we'll send that into an overcharging thermal runaway, that exothermic reaction. And then, unfortunately, we'll start a fire.
Everything you need to know this Saturday morning about lithium ion batteries, Paul Gorsica, Erie County Fire Instructor. He has become an expert on the subject, and we invite you to participate in the program at 803-0930. Outside the 716, it's a toll-free call at 1-800-616-WBEN. When you're driving about Western New York, stop by and check out the Come Home to Cortez showroom at 9074 Main Street in Clarence. Love to give you a grand tour. And also show you all of our products and services that we have on hand, including our cooking school, which, by the way, the pizza class is coming up. Can't wait for this. Limited spots are still available. This is an outside event in our courtyard with our brand new Uni pizza oven and Chef Jerry Clemente making dough from scratch. He will have some gluten-free dough as well. This is the 5th of June. Register online at cortez.net, And when you're there, you can look at all of the classes that are coming up, including July, August, September, October, November, and December. We travel all around Italy for our cooking school. And June the 5th is the pizza class. And I can't wait to be a part of that with Jerry. We'd like to invite you to be a part of it as well. Check it out at cortese.net. Drop-down menu, come home to Cortese Cooking School and register today. Hey, great Father's Day gift, huh? Bring Dad to the pizza workshop. 803-0930, good morning from Dominic Cortese. And before you pick up the hammer, before you pick up the drill, pick up the phone and give me a call. I'd love to talk to you. Come, Cortese, your man for home improvement. Before we talk to you, though, we're going to talk to Leo Rollo from Lakeshore Savings Bank. Leo, one of the branch managers. What branch are you at today, Leo?
The Snyder branch.
Okay, Main Street and Snyder, not too far from the 290. Stop in today. They're open till noon and closed on Memorial Day to honor our veterans. And tell us what's going on at Lakeshore with interest rates on savings.
Yeah, so we have a couple great products still with some good yields on them. We are still offering our 9-month CD at an annual yield of 4.35%. So it's a great short-term savings vehicle to kind of make some money quick. And we also have a liquid money market account with an interest rate at 2.62%.
Awesome. Well, these are great rates. And, of course, with the rising interest rate environment, you can take advantage of it being on the winning side of it with getting higher interest on your savings. Of course, we're paying a little bit more for money, too, right now, aren't we not, Leo?
Correct.
Yeah. But still, though, Lakeshore is offering the home equity loans that make sense with the free services up front on the appraisal and the closing. And, yeah, you can maybe refinance it down the road a little bit.
Yep. And we still have, again, a great home equity product. And if anybody has any questions or wants to look into that, they can stop by or give us a call at any one of our branches.
Okay. How about shouting out the Snyder branch phone number?
Yes. Phone number for Snyder is 716-898-2101.
And one more time on that.
716-898-2101.
For 132 years, Lakeshore Savings Bank, putting people first. Did you ever move your fridge only to be completely shocked by what you find underneath it? Well, it is spring cleaning time, and it's time to clean that out, and then also look at reducing your allergies and sinuses by cleaning out your ductwork as well. How do you do that? Well, there's only one way, and that's with my friends at Indoor Air Professionals. Celebrating 30 years in business, they come over to your house, and with the patented column duct cleaning system, they cut a hole and blast all the gunk off the sidewalls of your ductwork and leave you with a fresh scent of Canberra gel. Peter Gordon joins us on the live line. Good morning, Mr. Gordon.
Good morning, Dominic. Yeah, I tell you, we're still getting some great testimonials with the people, you know, that just have been living with sinus and allergies for a long time, and they finally take the move to say, oh, yeah, the out of sight, out of mind.
Yep.
And they thoroughly clean their ductwork, and then lo and behold, they can stop taking allergy medication. And, you know, just some people don't take medication. They just wake up with cement nose, and then that's gone after thorough duct cleaning.
Yep. And of course, we also want to mention that this is the prime season now to invest in a high capacity dehumidifier from April Air, available through Indoor Air Professionals.
Yeah. I mean, well, you see it work in your basement.
Yep.
And I mean, it's just, we're delivering those every week now. People are like, you know, yeah, they're a little more expensive. No, they're more expensive. But, you know, the fact that they have a 5-year bumper to bumper warranty, 5 times the drying power, and then, of course, they're going to last 15 years. By the time you put the Tinker Toys out to the curb after 3 to 5 years, you know, we're talking about the big box store GEs and Amanas, it just doesn't, these really have like a 4-year payout, and they use a third less energy.
There you go. And, of course, the medical-grade air purifier also available at Indoor Air Professionals. Let's get into the extra special Memorial Day weekend Hammer Time discounts.
Okay, this is amazing because I really, you know, it means a lot. You and I have been around the block for, you know, over 6 decades. And honoring the fallen men and women that serve our country and fight for the Constitution and all that. Our lifestyle is just amazing. So we're really amping it up here. So first of all, we're going up to $300 off on the April Air High Capacity Dehumidifier.
Wow.
Okay. Secondly, $300 off on the portable HealthWay. That's the one that's 40 times more efficient than HEPA filters. The whole line is. And, of course, the one that hooks on your furnace is $500 off. But wait for this. So duct cleaning, but you got to call me today, and I'm working until 5 o'clock. A minimum of $200 off of your duct cleaning and up to $300, depending on the size of your home. And, you know, but you got to call today because this will all be over after Memorial Day.
683-3000, 716-683-3000. Got IAP? Get it today.
Hammer time.
1025 is Hammer Time. It's Dominic. Good morning, and how are you? 803-0930 is the number to call. We're talking about lithium ion. Paul Gorsica, he's an Erie County fire instructor by night and a customs agent by day, and assigned typically to the Peace Bridge, you said.
Absolutely, yep. Mm-hmm.
So you're really wearing a couple hats here. Let's get back into the discussion. We have a texter who wrote in, why not foam these fires?
Absolutely, and that's a great question. Typically, a lot of first responders kind of they ask that question as well. You know, what about the foam capabilities that we have, and how well will that work, and is that effective against lithium ion battery fires, and specifically electric vehicle fires? Unfortunately, the studies that have come out of UL and specifically from the Fire Safety Research Institute have proven foam to be ineffective when it comes to fighting electric vehicle fires and lithium ion battery fires. The reason for that is really what it boils down to is that reaction. That exothermic reaction is so hot that the foam, what it's designed to do, is completely ineffective. We have the cells that are going into thermal runaway. They produce almost like a jet flame that is very hot. We talked about kind of those exposures and how those lithium ion batteries can cause fires in surrounding areas or different parts of a room or your garage or things like that. So that foam and the properties of that foam, just based on the pure exothermic reaction, is completely ineffective at fire suppression efforts.
So what is the average homeowner to do, not only to prevent this, but protect themselves? And what if you notice that you're having, you know, a fire start in your home? What should your first reaction be other than call 911?
Absolutely. So I think the biggest part of this is obviously public awareness and really understanding what lithium ion batteries are, where they are, how they affect our lives, but also know the dangers of lithium ion batteries. I can pretty much say, given the research, that I'm not saying that every lithium ion battery you have in your house after the show today are going to explode inside your home. That's not the case. They are relatively safe, but there's certain things that you can do to protect yourself and to be aware. First thing is make sure that you're buying those OEM parts. You know, don't at least try to avoid going online and shopping for aftermarket parts and pieces for different charging devices.
You
and
said
things like
you'll
that.
Look for the UL label.
Absolutely, UL is huge. UL, the Underwriters Laboratories, have gone through and they've tested those particular those batteries, those charging packs, and they've deemed them to be safe. Mm-hmm. So if you're going to search out different ways to charge and maybe some alternate battery options, make sure that they have the UL markings on them.
So I've said this before on the air. A buddy of mine lost his. In fact, he was on the air talking about it. He was actually in the insurance industry, and he lost his house to a lithium ion battery car charging in the garage. I mean, what could have caused that? It was a new vehicle, you know, following the instructions on plugging it in. He said he was told to plug it into a regular outlet. Is that not valid?
Yep. So what we will always tell folks in the education that we put out to the public is always follow the manufacturer's recommendations when it comes to charging, especially when it comes to EVs. If you're purchasing, whether it's an e-mobility device or power tools, make sure that you are adhering to manufacturer's recommendations when it comes to charging and storing those particular devices. The unfortunate part about it is that even in with anything in our world, there's a human element to it. So one of the causes of failure of lithium-ion batteries potentially could be a manufacturer defect. And that's still kind of it is a rarity, but it still exists out there. And those manufacturer defects can cause those products to overcharge. They can produce those thermal runaway. And with the example that you gave with the car in the garage, that is a real danger that folks can face. Mainly because there is no warning when those batteries do go into thermal runaway and they do fail. So,
well, he told the story that he got out with his bare feet and they lost a dog in the fire and they had no chance to grab anything at all.
Absolutely, and that's one of the pieces for the general public to really understand is that if this ever were to happen, the propagation or the fire spread as a result of lithium-ion battery failure is very, very rapid.
When we come back, we're going to be talking with Paul about that and how building materials have evolved and in some cases make this whole issue worse. It's the bottom of the hour and it's time for the top of the news. Back with more.
Hammer Time.
Watch Hammer Time TV Saturday mornings at 5:30 and Sunday mornings at 10:30 on Channel 2. See Phil, Nick, and Michelle with tips for you and, of course, all of our Hammer Time partners. And, of course, Viewer Mail, which is a television version of this radio program. Hammer Time TV, Buffalo's Home Improvement Show, Saturday mornings at 5:30, Sunday mornings at 10:30 on Channel 2. My guest in studio is Paul Gorsica, and Paul teaches firemen how to combat fires. And, of course, now with the advent of lithium ion as a hazard, he's expanded the class to include this subject matter. And before the break, we talked about how rapid a lithium ion fire will spread. That, of course, is compounded by the building materials that are used to build a house today and the open floor plans that we see.
Absolutely. So the problem is only compounded when we talk about lithium ion battery fires in residences by the new type of construction and building materials that are used. So we're specifically talking about lightweight truss, engineered lumber, and as you said, open floor plans. If we think about how houses were built 20, 30 years ago using dimensional lumber, more of those compartmentalized where you kind of had a separate room in the house,
It seems to me, is it fair to say that there's really no winning against this kind of fire anyway, no matter what the building is?
Absolutely. I think that what we can do is kind of push that public prevention, public awareness. As the adage goes, close before you doze. So bedroom doors should be closed at night to kind of prevent that fire spread, especially to the areas that you're sleeping. Obviously, always have working smoke detectors in your home and have a plan and a way for you and your family to get out if there ever is
a fire.
That's
the bottom line.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And then look for the UL label as well. We want to make sure we get that message out.
100%. Take heed of those UL, those labels, and make sure that you're purchasing products that have been inspected and certified.
You know, in this era that we're in, Paul, with volunteerism being down and people being too busy to make a commitment to enlist in volunteer fire departments. Thank God for you and the men that you teach on devoting your time to being a volunteer fireman.
No, I appreciate that. It is a struggle. It's a struggle to recruit folks to the volunteer fire service. Our manpower across the state, across the country, is down. It's something that we have. Many organizations between New York State Fire Chiefs Association, even locally here with some recent legislation that's been passed to give volunteer firemen a benefit from tax burden and hoping of beefing up numbers. We are trying to do everything that we can to recruit folks to the ranks to help out.
Yeah. It's an uphill fight right now. Again, maybe COVID did this to us, you know, kind of gave us a different perspective on life. And volunteerism, as I say, is down across the board everywhere.
Absolutely. Yeah. And we are trying innovative ways, different ways of recruiting, of getting folks even to come to the door to express an interest and even allowing us to kind of, you know, tell the story and give people the information they need as to what volunteering for their local fire department is all about.
I guess you got to be a special person to, you know, to volunteer to be a fireman. Now, of course, with the advent of this being another hazard to deal with, you know, there's some high risk here.
Absolutely. Definitely some high risk. We spoke about that building construction. We spoke about how hot and how fast these fires can burn, especially in new builds. They are the dangers. Obviously, with the fire service, there is those inherent dangers. I think everyone who steps up to the plate and who volunteers has an understanding of what those dangers are. But this new and emerging technology just kind of amps that up a little bit.
Mm-hmm. To Buffalo, let's go and say good morning to Bob. Bob, you're on WEN.
Good morning, Dominic. I just had a question I wanted to ask him. I've lived through a house fire once. I keep fire extinguishers in my home at different places just in case one does not want to wait for the fire department to put out a small fire. What type of fire extinguisher does he recommend? And I do have one other question now that he's talked about how hot they are. With the talking of the covering of the 33, what happens when a car has a fire in a tunnel and it's ion lithium based? Because I had two batteries that just died on me. I bought them at the end of last year, so now I got to get rid of them. But if I have a fire, like he says, how do I put it out in a hurry?
Okay,
that's
thank you, Dominic.
Thank you.
That's a great question. Unfortunately, there is no fire extinguisher out there for a fire that involves lithium ion batteries to effectively put that out. Mm-hmm. Even studies that have been done by UL, they have Amorex extinguishing agent that's specifically used for combustible metals. They've run studies with lithium ion battery packs and that particular Amorex to try to put the lithium ion battery fires out, and that proved to not even touch it. Mm-hmm. So unfortunately, with the way that these reactions are occurring and how hot these fires are burning, really the best thing for a homeowner to do is to get out of the house. Mm-hmm. You really need to evacuate. You need to make those phone calls to 911 as quickly as possible. And obviously, if you don't know if the fire involves a lithium ion battery, we don't want people to sit around and try to put a fire out themselves or try to ascertain whether or not that fire involves a lithium ion battery. It's best to evacuate the structure, get to a safe spot, make sure you're accountable to making accountability for all the people in your house and making those informed calls to 911. That's the best thing that you do. We just don't want somebody to try to, you know, put out a fire and with the rapid spread, as we said before, get themselves into a position where now they become trapped in their home and we have more problems to worry about.
So the caller alluded to what happens to a car fire in a tunnel. That's an interesting proposition based on the fact of how these fires burn. You know, what do you do with a car fire, number one? And number two, we just saw NFTA take the electric buses off the road. You know, I don't know what happened to that. We haven't heard much more about it. And, you know, what about the natural gas buses that they had and now those have become unpopular. So what about vehicles of that size, a bus?
Sure. I'll touch on the vehicle in the tunnel. I think that I would kind of defer to the municipality that covers that particular area and specifically involving those critical infrastructure. I think, and I would defer to the SOPs that are in place for those particular departments on how they're handling that particular situation. But when it comes to mass transit, I think we're seeing this a lot lately, and you don't have to look very far in the news to see mass transit, buses, electric buses that are being taken offline or entire fleets being pulled offline because of safety issues. And
safety for this reason of the spontaneousness of a fire?
Absolutely, absolutely. And the failure of those batteries without warning, that is the public safety issue where we now have basically a giant electric vehicle, a mass transit bus with
a lot of people.
A lot of people, absolutely. Without warning, a failure of those battery packs, whether they're stored on the roof of the bus or underneath or at the rear, depending on the manufacturer. And now we have that thermal runaway. Those fires start without warning, spread very quickly, and now we have to worry about evacuating people from a confined area. So that presents a life safety hazard.
Mm-hmm. And I understand that we're going to see electric school buses, too.
Absolutely. With mass transit, several school districts within the Western New York area have already gone to introducing electric buses within their fleet. And that is something, obviously, that special attention needs to be played to in terms of understanding how we're going to evacuate kids off of a school bus if there ever is an emergency involving the lithium ion or the failure of the lithium ion batteries.
So tell me this. How often are fire departments in Western New York responding to lithium ion batteries right now?
That's a fantastic question. I think overall, in the message here, I obviously don't want to scare people, saying, again, as I spoke before, that all lithium ion batteries are going to fail once the show's over and people are aware of it. I think inherently lithium ion batteries, they are safe. They are a great product to use. They charge very well. They give us what we need as consumers. But we do have to be aware of when they do fail, that there are very serious consequences to that.
Right.
And we really need to be prepared. And that's why the public outreach campaign is so important.
Yes.
So that people kind of understand, hey, if something does go wrong, you know, we need to be aware of it. We need to have a plan moving forward.
So how many lithium ion fire batteries are we seeing right now?
So I don't, in terms of lithium ion or electric vehicle fires versus the traditional internal combustion engine, I think it's very low.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're seeing a low number, but you don't have to look far, even in the news, to kind of see where electric vehicle fires are happening, both in our community and across the country.
Well, it's just that there's the consequences are so extreme.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yep. So I think the numbers are low between EV and internal combustion engines. And
yeah.
I think UL has even said that there's really not enough data out there with EVs to really kind of study that completely. So, and again, this is just the product of that new and emerging technology.
Right.
I know that we've had e-vehicles like the Toyota Prius on the road for a very long period of time. The last 20, 30 years, the Prius came in the late 90s. So it's been out there. But I think with lithium ion, that technology is just continuously improving and evolving, that we just have to be aware of what those consequences are.
Squeeze in your question before we end the show at 803-0930. This is Hammer Time Radio on WBEN.
Stop. Hammer Time.
10:54 is Hammer Time. This is the second week in a row that we've gotten a comment about our topic being away from home improvements. And I guess I would feel a little responsible for not educating the public, Paul, on this lithium ion issue.
Absolutely. I think it's important as somebody involved in the fire service, as a county and fire instructor that's, responsible for training our new firemen that are coming through our academies. It's very important. A very important piece of what we do is public outreach, and specifically public education and fire prevention. Many years ago, our big push was, making sure that we have working smoke detectors, and that still is a very, mm-hmm. very important. I remember even going to school being taught, stop, drop, and roll, and, mm-hmm. and making sure that we have working fire detectors in our homes. With the advent of this technology and with the changing and emerging technologies that are coming out there and the trends that exist, it's very important for us to, as professionals in the fire service, to educate the people that we serve, educate the community, and make sure everyone is aware not only of the dangers, but how to appropriately plan and deal with those dangers that exist.
So talking about that, the dangers go beyond the effects of fire, meaning that the loss of a structure, the loss of the car, because not only are you dealing with that, but you're dealing with the off-gassing and the chemical hazard that exists then from that.
Absolutely. Specifically, when it comes to disposal, we can look to some of the great studies that are coming out of New York City. They're dealing with a huge lithium ion battery issue right now. Disposal of these lithium ion batteries, disposing of them properly is an issue. There is also an issue when it comes to the hazardous material after an electric vehicle suppression. So not only are first responders having to deal with all of the chemicals and the gases when these batteries burn, but when we're engaging in fire suppression operations, there is a potential for hazmat and the water that we're utilizing to put these fires out and what effects that has on the environment. So that's something that we also have to be aware of.
Now, you spoke about looking for the UL label. The fires that were happening in New York City with e-bikes was largely due to that, right? They weren't UL approved?
Absolutely. And that's a huge problem that New York City is having right now, mainly because of the population density. They have obviously millions of people that are living in that city. A lot of individuals are living in large high-rise apartment buildings. these fires have been going on and has been an issue for New York City for the last several years. And unfortunately, it's with the charging of these e-mobility devices, the electric bikes, the hoverboards, things like that, things where individuals can get from point A to point B very quickly in a major city. The unfortunate part about it is they are being charged and sometimes even DIY is being engaged with these battery packs to make them last longer, go farther. And when these vehicles are being charged or these e-mobility devices are being charged, they're being charged in people's bedrooms and in hallways. And in many times they're blocking escape routes. And that's where the issue becomes, because now we have the failure of those battery packs. We have that thermal runaway, that exothermic reaction, and people can't escape.
So again, advice to the homeowner, make sure that anything you purchase that's a lithium ion battery is UL approved.
Yep.
And that you follow the charging instructions.
Absolutely. And that's no matter what you're utilizing, whether it's your charging your cell phone to your laptop, even e-cigarettes, flashlights, power tools, and even your EV. Always adhere to your manufacturer's recommendations, the manufacturer's approved pieces and parts, and OEM pieces and parts when it comes to additional batteries and things to charge those battery packs.
Well, Paul, I want to thank you for spending your holiday weekend, one of your holiday weekend days with us here. And I wish you and your family success with your educating the public here on this subject.
I appreciate that. Thank you for allowing me to come on to speak to this evolving topic to your listeners, and hopefully this is the start and the continuation of our public engagement when it comes to lithium ion and electric vehicle hazards.
Now, if our listening audience would like more information, where would you send them?
I would send them to the county, Erie County Department of Homeland Security and Emergency Services. Their website is erie.gov/fire. That's a great way to not only get some information about this topic, but also to engage the Fire Safety Division. Even if they need to request additional information or find out where their local fire department is to get help, we can always assist in that.
Now, if we sparked anyone's interest at possibly considering volunteering their time in a fire department, how would they go about doing that?
So they can also reach out to the county as well. The county has a lot of resources for individuals that need to identify what fire department is closest to them, and can give them some great information on how to start the process of volunteering within their community.
All right, Paul. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
I wanted to encourage everybody to take pause on Monday to think about those that gave their life for us on Memorial Day. That's what it's all about. I'll see you at the Veterans Memorial after the parade on Main Street in Clarence as we dedicate another 20 or so new names that we've just inscribed at our Veterans Memorial that Clarence Rotary built. We'll see you on Monday there, and of course, we'll see you next Saturday right back here. In the meantime, always remember that life may be hard by the yard, but by the inch, it's a cinch.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.